Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
People ask me, were you must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, March 30, 2022, and this is the interview edition of the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 436 of the Biden-Harris administration, 221 days until the 22 midterms. Instagram, I'm at the Bob Seska. Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. All right, it's been a particularly ridiculous week so far. Our national cheese is slipping off of our national cracker. I hope that makes sense. Anyway, Cliff Schechter returns to the show today. I think we're going to make this a regular thing. Maybe have Cliff stop by once a month or something like that. I think that's going to work. More to come on that front. So meanwhile, today, Cliff and I are going to talk about the 7-hour gap in Trump's phone records, what's taking Merrick Garland so goddamn long to investigate Trump's involvement January 6th. I mean, at the very least, January 6th. Plus, CBS News' inexplicable hiring of Mick Mulvaney and a whole lot more. Man, I really need to hear from Cliff today. Meantime, think about supporting this show by signing up for our bonus content at bobseskashow.com. Okay, here's Cliff talking about important shit and making me laugh about it, too.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Nobody told me it would be like this. I'm at a crossroad and I'm trying to resist.
Why the hell is CBS News hiring Mick Mulvaney, of all people? Didn't we talk about this at one point during the Trump administration, how it was going to be inevitable that some of the mainstream press outlets were going to hire some of these weirdos from the Trump administration, basically normalizing the idiots and freaks?
Yeah, well, I mean, you just had a tweet about that. That was exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Again, you know, we just can't get to a point where the political media, for the most part, and again, there's exceptions, and I try to point that out, that there are some folks that have risen above and beyond and taken risks and whatever, you know, to their careers and have done what you would expect people to do in these situations. But there aren't enough. And certainly the executives at these big companies don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, Mick Mulvaney was there when numerous of these crimes he's now being investigated for were committed.
Yeah. Was he ever confirmed as chief of staff, or was he just acting chief of staff? I have no idea. I have no recollection of what that was.
Yeah, I don't even remember, right? But I mean, yeah. That's the Trump stuff is that there just are so many, not just sort of unusual and weird, but criminal and unethical and all sorts of other things that they did, you know, that it's sort of hard to even kind of put everything into place and remember all of them. But what I do know is, you know, I mean, he left being chief of staff. He became like some ceremonial, you know, envoy to Northern Ireland. They weren't doing any negotiating or anything. They don't do policy.
Right.
Then he made a big show of stepping down because he was so horrified. Remember when Elaine Chao and a few others did after January 6th?
Mm-hmm.
That was probably his way of being like, yeah, now the corporate media will love me again. But I mean, and that's the thing is like, it all blends into each other. I've got a really good memory for the most part. And I can't even like, he was the chief of staff, if I remember correctly, during the first impeachment, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And let's be clear about this. Chief of staff is basically co-president. I mean, I don't know what it was specifically like in the Trump White House, but historically, chief of staff, you know, going back to Kenny O'Donnell, kind of the co-president, kind of right there for every decision that's being made in the Situation Room, in the Oval, hands-on. So you have to assume that Mick Mulvaney more or less was the co-president with Donald Trump at that period of time. So yeah, he's fucking guilty. He's a villain. And now CBS News, and like, I totally get like Fox News Channel hiring some of these people to come on as commentators, but right. CBS News. And now we learn, and then this was the tweet you were talking about a second ago, Jeremy Barr from the Washington Post reported today. In fact, just a few minutes before we went on the show, according to an audio recording I obtained, Jeremy Barr, CBS News co-pres Neeraj Kamlani told staff earlier this month that CBS needed to hire more Republicans for quote-unquote access reasons because the GOP would likely win the midterms. These are calls that the press should not be making, certainly not the TV press. And they've got many more problems than just this. But this is a great example, isn't it, of hurting America?
It's a textbook example. And then the only change I made to your tweet is how they're killing us. I
mean, they're killing America.
They're killing our democracy.
Yep.
And they're doing it with exactly this kind of, these kinds of sort of, you know, the banality of evil, right?
Yep.
I mean, these little decisions every day, which is this guy, again, who's there. I mean, there's a war being fought right now that was a predictable war for many, many years now, because everything Trump and Putin and this whole coterie of people did made it plainly obvious that you know, from taking the you know, changing the Republican position on Ukraine and taking it out of their platform in 2016 to their hiring of Manafort, who had worked with Putin's literal puppet, you know, to help get him elected in quotes, before he was tossed out in Ukraine. I mean, this has been sort of the crown jewel of Putin's agenda, even though he's got a much broader one. And so this was all obvious. And so we now know from the context that the Zelensky thing was part of this whole fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just, I want dirt on Joe Biden. It was, I get two for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to not give you the stuff to defend yourself against my pal Putin. And no matter what they'd given him on Biden, I promise you, he would have found excuses not to give them what they needed to defend themselves against Putin.
Right.
So it's sort of, you know, and the end result here, of course, ends up being that the war we knew that Putin has been aiming to start for God knows how many years now starts. When Mick Mulvaney was, as you put it, co-president basically with Trump, a lot of all this criminality was taking place. They got Trump impeached. You know, and it's ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ludicrous that any organization that calls itself a news organization could hire anybody who worked for Donald Trump who didn't show up literally like crying, groveling, saying that they were the scum of the earth, you know, and I mean, and literally referring to themselves in that manner.
Oh, yeah.
And even then, no.
Why do you think Putin waited so long to go into Ukraine? I don't remember if we talked about this last month, Cliff, when you were on, but why did he wait? Did he assume that if he waited until 2022, by that point, Trump would have pulled out of NATO? And so that's why the timetable kind of played out the way it did. Like, there was an assumption that eventually Trump was going to abandon NATO, and that would have freed up Putin to go into Ukraine and a lot worse. I mean, he could have done a lot more damage than he's doing right now, for sure. I mean, this is not to downplay the damage. This is not to downplay the atrocities, but it could have been way worse. I mean, he could have gone into Poland. He could have gone into Lithuania. He could have gone into Estonia, any of these nations, but he chose just Ukraine because no Donald Trump. There's no Trump to remove us from NATO.
Again, and that's where I'm saying all those many things are obviously in a direct line and related. I mean, my gosh, you don't, you don't need to be, you know, you don't need to be sitting there like Russell Crowe. Damn it. What's the movie where you can like see all the numbers and all that shit?
A Beautiful Mind. Is that it?
Yeah. You don't have to have, you don't have to be, have a beautiful mind to put together the pattern here. It's really pretty easy, right? From the moment that, you know, the from the moment Crimea is invaded, and then you throw in, as I said, the Republicans changing their platform and Manafort. It's all been about the same thing. And the reason it didn't go in is, once again, he was getting everything he needed. I mean, this became a Republican talking point of, well, you know, he didn't do it when Trump was in power. It was like, because he didn't need to. I mean, the whole point was they thought Trump could get reelected.
Yeah.
And they thought they could help reelect him. And numerous staff have come out now and said exactly that. Numerous, you know, Trump people who were in the room with Trump and some of the Defense Department, other places, that Trump had every intention, had he been reelected, of pulling out of NATO. It, would he have been able to do it? I don't know. He tried some other things along those lines, and it didn't work out quite the, you know, like he tried doing some things that were very kind of against the grain of the bipartisan consensus, and he was pushed back. But you remember, he did overcome that bipartisan consensus and pulled out of defending the Kurds, our historic allies, and left them to be slaughtered. Something that nobody, the Republicans and Democrats alike, at least Republicans, pretended to care about these kinds of, so I mean, you know, NATO, I think he was going to do his best to break up the EU and, you know, and try to foment sort of factional warfare there, you know, siding with members of the EU who have elected more dictatorial governments. I mean, if you think about it, if he goes to certain of the people in the EU, remember, this is before all these guys now are just horrified by Vladimir Putin. Do you know why they're horrified? Because he's a loser. He's losing, and he looks bad, and he looks like a murderer and an evil person he is on TV, and they don't want to look like that. But from Erdogan, you know, to Orban, to Duda in Poland, to a number of these countries that, you know, that are either allied with us, you know, in NATO, that have dictatorial leaders now. I mean, I think it was sort of, you know, they'll all be behind me when I make this play. They'll cause trouble in the EU. They'll cause trouble in NATO. Just wait. And when Trump's reelected, we can, and again, they were doing it before he was reelected.
Yeah.
Right. Like they were doing numerous things, from trying to take sanctions off of oligarchs to, you know, even saying, you know, sort of accepting that Crimea was part of Russia to, I mean, there were numerous ways in which they already were moving in that direction.
Oh, yeah.
They're moving just slowly enough that, you know, so again, that's a long answer, but that's my answer, which is, I think they thought that once Trump was in it, especially if they could get Congress back, but even without Congress didn't much matter, Trump would literally either pull out of NATO or damage it to such a point, say that he would refuse to abide by Article 5 of NATO, which is the joint defense part of it, and other things that then Putin would have been ready to make an advance, and one where I think he would have felt much more comfortable. Whereas here it was sort of, oh shit, there are people that are actually standing up to me.
Yeah.
There are people that actually aren't just, you know, tossing Ukraine overboard. I better move now.
Right, right.
That's my feeling. Anyhow.
Yeah, yeah. And then yesterday, two things happened that were both major, major news stories. Well, first we learned about a 7-hour gap in Trump's call logs, 7.5 hours, just giant gap in the call logs from January 6th. And we learned,
in his defense, though, he may have just been eating fried chicken.
That's very true. So we got to take into consideration the fried chicken. But we also learned that a federal judge said Trump likely committed a felony on January 6th. And this dovetails exactly with what you were just saying. Trump asked Putin yesterday on television for dirt on a political opponent again, as if the first time in 2016 wasn't bad enough. He went and did it again. And I think the reason he did it again is to probably own the libs, but I think to some extent he was kind of serious. He was kind of hoping that maybe.
Well, I think he was serious. Yeah. He doesn't get boundaries.
Right.
He's not as, I mean, again, like I don't want to sort of cast aspersions on people, all sorts of people. By the way, I've got serious sort of, from when I had Graves' disease, anxiety, right? So yeah. I don't try to cast aspersions on people with mental disabilities or whatever term we're using. I don't try to do that at all. But I want to be honest. I mean, Trump is not of sound mind.
No,
you know, he is not. I mean, he is clearly clinically narcissistic, and I mean, if he's not a sociopath, I would bet anything, my entire whatever, on that. So
yeah.
So the point is that he doesn't see things in the manner in which normal people do. He doesn't see boundaries the way people do. And so a normal person would say to themselves, or at least a well-functioning adult would say to themselves, hey, I said that stupid thing last time, and I didn't really have experience in politics. And, you know, it got me in lots of trouble, almost cost me an election, you know, helped eventually lead to potentially a first impeachment and the rest. Maybe I should shut the fuck up for once.
Right.
But that doesn't cross Donald Trump's stupid little fucking furry mind.
No.
You know, it goes into it, it pops in his head and he says it.
Yeah.
It literally, it's like his brain is just a big spinal cord. They're like, there's no thought. He's like a lower order being. Remember when you took biology? That like everything goes to the spinal cord is a reflex. Yeah. Everything's a reflex. There's no,
that's
there's
right.
no reason that goes on, like none of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He meant it. And I don't even think he knew he was doing anything wrong, because that's just who he is. He's a criminal and a thug, you know, and a narcissist and a sociopath. And this is the way he's wandered the earth, you know, for the 70, whatever years that we've all been up, you know, that this earth has been stained with his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so that's what I think was good. But I mean, that's the thing that's just so atrocious there.
Yeah.
Is that all these other people, all these folks around him, all these ones, they all know better, right? I mean, there's a couple of them that obviously, I mean, no, I mean, Louis Gohmert isn't playing with a full deck. We all know mm-hmm. that. I mean, I would say there's a good two dozen people that are in the Republican Party that definitively have serious clinical mental illnesses, likely on the sort of paranoid sociopathy,
you
know, that whole spectrum of areas.
Yeah.
But point being, there's a lot of other folks. And we've heard nobody say anything. Haven't even heard Mitt Romney say a damn thing, right, as far as I know, about how awful it is. And there's a lot of people that know better. And so, again, like, it's just proving once again, there are no boundaries that will stop this guy except for the ones you erect that he cannot get past. And those are the ones that need to be legal. Mm-hmm. And it just leads, I mean, you know, this is your show. And all of you out there listening, you're lucky. I mean, otherwise you'd be stuck listening to me all the time. So, you know, be happy to get off. But I do feel I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Even though that's your job to ask me questions, which is like, you know, I mean, it is hard. I want to maintain belief. I really do. Mm-hmm. My God. But like, you know, and I know there's some people that come down on the opposite side. The two strongest voices I trust the most on the Merrick, I'm talking about Merrick Garland to start with, are Allison Gill, who we know, you know, Mueller, she wrote, and Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler, who seem to be sort of firmly in the camp of, they're doing a lot of things behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and they've looked at documents and they've said things. It still won't change my position that Merrick Garland and like literally the entire Democratic Party is a massive failure as a communicator.
Yeah.
Because it's insane. You know, oh, well, that's against precedent. You know what else is against precedent? Having people smear their feces on the walls of Congress. That's against fucking precedent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're not in a normal situation here. We're in a situation where it becomes clearer every day, you know, that is the missing 7 hours of missing logs, the memo that apparently Ted Cruz wrote alongside Eastman that may implicate Ted Cruz. This isn't just a Trump thing, as many of us have been saying. Sure, he was the catalyst. He's the one that gave these other, you know, the leader, if you will, of in their sociopathic little group that gave these other people the courage to act out on do the things they wanted to do, the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruzes and Mike Lees. You know, in the House, and you know, that whole rogues gallery, the two dozen of them that basically wake up in the morning and have trouble doing anything other than drooling. You know, I can name them all off the top of my head. Or I started with them before. I mean, Gozar Biggs, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert, Massey, Kaufman, Gohmert, Massey, Jim Jordan. I mean, these are literally people who like just are basically Ruprecht from fucking Dirty Rotten Founders. Okay. May I go to the bathroom, sir? Thank you. But I mean, that's what we're so okay. You know, and we know many of them were going by their little hotel suite where their war room, you know, where this was going on. We've gotten a hold of memos. It becomes clearer and clearer every day that there are a lot of people involved in this.
Yeah.
And you know, Merrick Garland, if people say to me, you know, legally, he's doing what he needs to do, I can accept that. I'm not a lawyer. So I can say, maybe I'm wrong about that. Communications-wise, no, I am a communicator. And there's simply no way that when a country is on a precipice, you know, where a large chunk, a majority, I would say to you, of the country is worried about its survival as a democracy and what the hell's going on, that you shouldn't be regularly at least stepping up and telling us you're on the case, even if you can't give us specifics and all that sort of stuff. And he's failing there in the prison. But I'm interested in what you think. I mean, it's like, it's hard to remain faithful. It's like, and I'm somebody who generally, you know, is an optimist, I guess, I think. But I mean, it's like, you know, 1 minute, it's like, what the fuck is Merrick Garland? What is going on with Clarence Thomas? I mean, the whole Ginny Thomas thing, which you may want to get into, so I won't go there now, is ludicrous. Where is he? You know, we elect this fucking guy, or not we, but Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, who's like, oh, justice will be. Now bring me in and, you know, we'll have justice. I mean, somebody found that tweet from a while ago that justice would begin. Fucking liar. And he's really like to the point of where, I mean, from what I hear, the governor can actually fire him. And I Kathy Hochul, you know, like I won't say I'll give her a big donation if she does it, because that's bribery. But my God, would I support her wholeheartedly if she would fire this asshole. I'm so tired of people letting this motherfucker get away with all this behavior, because again, we don't erect these boundaries. The dude will just keep doing worse things. He doesn't have anything else that stops him from doing it.
That's right. I'm trying to control my patience in all of this, but it's wearing thin, especially after two of the news stories that I just talked about. The 7-hour gap and this federal judge, I think Judge Carter, said that Trump probably committed a felony on January 6th. These two things should have triggered Merrick Garland, the D.C. U.S. attorney, whoever, to launch into an immediate investigation of Donald Trump if it isn't already underway. Now, granted, it may already be underway. I don't know the level of discipline inside the Merrick Garland DOJ, because there hasn't been any leaks along these lines. And I don't know how to accept that. I don't know how to take the fact that there hasn't been any leaks to say, oh, yes, they are kind of looking into Donald Trump's participation in January 6th. We haven't really heard anything like that other than Merrick Garland himself saying, yes, it doesn't matter who it is. We're going to be looking into them if they were somehow criminally involved with the insurrection. So we know that, but we don't know anything else. And so
I'll say quickly, you're a smart guy. So you know that good messaging and good. So if you want people to understand, if you want to educate people, if you want to communicate a message with them, one of the key cornerstones of doing that is repetition. Yeah. And so the point is that, okay, so he stood up and he did that. When was that? 3 months ago now? Where the fuck is he?
Sometime ago.
A lot's happened since then. Mm-hmm. Why is it not every 2 weeks or every month this man is standing up, or at least the comms people who run his place, and saying to us, yes, what we said before is still true. We are looking into everyone. That excludes nobody, including the president of the United States. We're not saying we're looking into him, but we're not saying we're not. We're simply saying to you, there is no stone we're leaving unturned. Everybody is being investigated.
Yeah.
Why are they not doing that every couple of weeks to keep people, you know, in a place where we can all still feel like, okay, you know, we have some confidence? Because what we are seeing every couple of weeks, as you said, is this guy asked the enemy of this country to release information on his opponent or his potential opponent in 2024. What we are seeing is 7-hour gaps and things, and judges saying that he probably committed a crime, and memos from Ted Cruz that seem to likely, if we ever get to the truth, implicate Ted Cruz in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, again, on and on and on and on. I mean, like, Ted Cruz is the guy who came in second, as a reminder, besides being literally the most loathsome man in the world, whose own daughters can't stand the sight of him. He's also the person who came in second to Trump when, you know, in the primaries. I mean, we're talking about now the guy that was their nominee and eventual president, and the guy that came in second. Like, this is ridiculous.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it's you know, this is all stuff we need to know. And it just, I argue, it's like there's always that term about the iron triangle, you know, about lobbyists and government. And I've, you know, put together what my own iron triangle is of what is killing us, which is dishonest, evil, use whatever word you want, but often dominant right-wing media, lazy, click-oriented, scared of their own shadow, both sides, mainstream media that won't do their job and tell people who the bad guys are.
Right.
They'll allow politics to color that, you know. And then Democrats who refuse to fucking communicate what we're doing, what the other side's doing, you know, what the problem is, to tell people the story of what's going on. And when you put all those three things together, you get where we are.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I don't expect Merrick Garland to step up to a microphone and say, we're investigating Donald Trump for A, B, and C on through Z, however many investigations are ongoing. I don't expect him to announce that. I mean, if you remember 2016, we were all outraged by the fact that Jim Comey violated DOJ policy and stood up in front of a microphone and started blabbing about an ongoing investigation. However, I mean, all that being said, I do expect some sort of leaking to go on, at least some sort of single indication that we're going down this road. And I think one of the reasons why I don't expect an announcement is because this is something that is highly sensitive, that's never been done before. DOJ in particular has never investigated a sitting president. However, I mean, for God's sake, they opened an investigation into Hunter Biden. If we know that they're investigating Hunter Biden,
Glenn Greenwald, to get all the information from the laptop,
because he's the
laptop expert, from what I hear.
The thumb drive expert too. And you know, if that's going to happen, if they're going to announce that, or at least leak that, give us some information about any potential investigations into the president. I mean, this is such a dereliction of our constitutional democracy right now. The fact that these crimes took place in plain sight, we all know that they happen. They're on video. Donald Trump, by and large, is on video. The evidence is incontrovertible. And yet, and this is just,
and that's
this is
what's
just
so
one
fucked
of,
about this, Bob.
Yeah.
If we can't, if we cannot, again, I really feel that way. If we cannot find him guilty in these circumstances, you know, I don't understand why we have courts.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, and I would fully understand if people are just like, all right, I don't believe in the rule of law anymore. What's the point?
Yeah. And it's not the only thing either, Cliff. There's an entire laundry list of Trump things that require investigation.
Alvin Bragg.
Yeah,
New York,
yeah.
Which is a whole different thing, and what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are the non-DOJ investigations that are going on that I'm still quite hopeful for. Fulton County is a big one down in Georgia. Certainly, Letitia James's investigation in Albany is a big deal.
That's the one I have the most faith. And I think there's one going on in Washington, D.C. over the Trump Hotel.
Right.
By the Attorney General or whatever the I don't know if it's called the Attorney General there, but the top lawyer there. I mean, yes, there are other ones.
Yeah.
District but the attorney, fact that a Manhattan elected district attorney could do what this motherfucker just did. I'm sorry. You know, I can't even, I mean, beyond like the fact that it was the right thing to do. Does he think he has any future in Democratic politics? Cause I'm hoping he doesn't think he does.
I don't know.
I mean, his approval rating is probably 3% at this point. I hate my motherfucker with everything in my being, and I've never met him.
Well, one of the people we need to be taking a closer look at here in terms of delays in this investigation or not even picking up the investigation is the U.S. attorney in the D.C. district. I mean, that's where everything starts. If there is information leading to criminal indictments or if there's a secret grand jury, it's going to be coming from the U.S. attorney in D.C. And then ultimately, of course, Merrick Garland has supervisory capacity over the U.S., all the U.S. attorneys for that matter. And that's Merrick Garland's involvement. So, yeah, Merrick Garland is accountable for this, but also we got to be looking at the, and I forget the guy's name, the D.C. U.S. attorney. So, but that's where it should start. I mean, that's where it begins. That's the jurisdiction for this investigation, especially when it comes to the insurrection. But then you also have the Ukraine quid pro quo, which also had a criminal aspect to it. And we also learned that you can, in fact, investigate and indict a president after they're out of office for something that that president was impeached for and then was acquitted in the Senate. So these are all possible avenues of investigation. I have no fucking idea why it's not happening. But for about, you know, 10 months into the Joe Biden administration, I was trying to maintain a level of patience where it's new territory. We haven't been down this road before. Give them a chance. Now, I would say my level of patience has reduced down to, if you imagine it like a video game health meter, I'm down to where it's starting to turn red and flashing blood spatters on the sides of the screen. That's where I am.
Space invaders. Yeah. It's no longer with the space invaders are kind of moving slowly, doing jumping jacks at the top of the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're getting towards the bottom, going about 8,000 miles per hour, about to fucking crash. Does that work?
Yes.
Sorry, we're just on vacation. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
This one bar and restaurant that had this massive screened space invaders, and both of my boys were 15 and 12 were playing.
Yeah.
So I've got space invaders in the brain.
Well, sure. And since G.I. Jane jokes are back on the table, I guess we can go to space invader jokes too. That's all.
That's what we might need in the end, man. Is like, if Alvin Bragg can't do this shit, Will Smith, come on down, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if the best we can get is a smack across the face, then that's better than nothing.
Okay, so about 10 years ago, I was buried under way too much debt. I remember the sleepless nights, the worry, the sense of futility when it came down to paying down my debt despite skyrocketing interest rates. I took extreme measures to absolve that debt, but you don't need to. All you need is Lightstream. So with Lightstream, you can roll all of your credit cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit, way lower than most credit cards. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. The application is 100% online, and you might even get your money the same day you apply. That's a great turnaround. And just for my listeners, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Seska. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/CESCA. I got a link in the description for you under this episode at bobseska.com. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Seska for more information.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Well, I hope at the very least, when it comes to Alvin Bragg, I hope SDNY at the federal level, the U.S. attorney there, takes up that investigation now. I mean, if you look at the Pomerantz resignation letter, my God. Talk about tantalizing.
I know.
Talk about incriminating. It's like, Jesus, how can this not be happening? And then I try really hard, Cliff, as a Gen Xer who grew up with, you know, the early conspiracy theory adopters, you know, your JFK assassination conspiracy theories, et cetera.
I'm of that same generation as you, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah, my paranoia starts to get tweaked a little bit here. When I see something like Alvin Bragg or I see this delay at DOJ, I start to wonder, Who has Trump gotten to? I mean, who's been threatened? Who's been bought off? Who has been removed and replaced with a Trump loyalist? What's going on here that we're being so intensely gaslit with the lack of investigations of an obvious felony level, federal level criminal in the former president? And I don't have any other answers.
I don't either. That's something the thing. I'm going to go old school on you.
Yeah.
Okay, I found it. I was looking up the movie because you're a movie buff or kind of like into this stuff like me.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Q&A with Nick Nolte, Armand DeSante? It was a Sidney Lumet film. It was Nick Nolte, Armand DeSante, Timothy Hutton.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've heard of that, and I may have seen it when it came out. I don't remember it, though. I remember very little of it. What is this? What is the movie about?
I mean, it's hard to go into it, but there's police who do a shooting, and I think it's a black man, not shocking or whatever. But then they start, this young DA starts, you know, who's like this new. It's its own version, like a little bit like Training Day, which I'm sure you've seen.
Oh yeah,
like he's the new sort of, you know, and he believes in the system, and and he's trying to kind of go through it, but then he starts finding out that other DAs have been implicated in various things, you know. And you know that there's just so much more, like crime and you know whatever, and unethical behavior at the New York Police Department. And I'll never forget, like at the end, you know, there's, I'm trying to remember who it is. Is the head of the whole, one of the guys in the department takes Timothy Hutton aside. And he's like, and he points to this sort of this file, right? And you know, this file drawer. He's like, if you go through there, he's like, you will find shit going back to revolutionary times that's been covered up.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And he's like, shit. And don't forget, fire burns at 480 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, and, and that's how the movie ends, you know, and you're like, yeah. I don't know. That's what I thought of when you brought up, because, you know, we are of that conspiracy, like the mid to late 70s, early 80s, you know, where the 3 days of the Condor and, you know, all that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we were around when the Church Commission was assembled, and we saw those investigations, the House Select Committee investigating the assassinations, and it was all there as we were kind of coming of age. And so that's our common frame of reference. So when I see shit like that, I go to, oh, bad government, bad right. Conspiracy.
No, who's
being bought off? Yeah. Yeah.
And it just gets exhausting too. It does. It's like this guy, I think about, like, you know, I'm filing my taxes in the next week or two.
Yeah.
And I'm dotting every I and crossing every T because I'm scared shitless that I messed something up and some asshole comes after me. Not because I purposely did something.
Oh yeah.
But because I accidentally forgot to include something. And you know, I'm my own business. So I do hire an accountant, but they'll file the final thing. I still have to get all the write-offs right and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a big pain in my ass and you know and all that. But I'm so careful with all of that. And I look at this guy and I'm like, my God, like he's just spent an entire life walking between the raindrops.
Yeah, lying about his assets, lying on his tax returns. I mean, Jesus, at the very least, this Alvin Bragg investigation should have immediately, and who knows, it may have already done it, but I mean, Internal Revenue should be on top of this fucking thing. The inflation, deflation of assets, that's like right squarely in the wheelhouse of the IRS. And if there isn't an investigation going on at that level too, I mean, what the fuck are we even doing anymore?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what's the point of, I hate to get all existential, but it's like, what's even the entire point of our legal system and our political system?
Right.
If a guy like this can wander around, and he did for years in business, but then even put himself in the public eye and still commit the most outrageous and frankly, some of the worst crimes in the history of this country.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but there's sedition and treason in there. If they want to charge him with it, they probably, you know, we already know somebody, one of the Booger Boys. I don't know. What is it? Boogaloo Boys?
Yeah.
Not Picking Boys.
We can go with Booger Boys. Those, that's fine with me. Yeah.
That works. One of those guys already, you know, already pled guilty to seditious assault or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, we've already established that sedition took place. Like, I don't understand at some point, what does this motherfucker have to do?
right.
to go to prison.
I mean, burner phones, Cliff. Burner phones. We're talking about fucking Jimmy McGill and Walter White and Mike Ehrmantraut and fucking Gus Fring, you know, snapping the El Cheapo burner phones in half after they're done making a phone call.
That's right.
What Donald Trump did for 7.5 hours on January 6th. Burner phones.
What's my name? Serious at all. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it you know, and that reminds me quickly. I don't want to change the subject, but I wanted to thank you for something.
Okay.
And I'm going to thank you here publicly because I told you that I did not love the second Suicide Squad film.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like, I thought they were trying to do kind of a Deadpoolish thing for DC, but I thought they kind of missed the mark in a number of places. I didn't find some of those characters, Ratatouille or whatever. I didn't think they were done very well. And I thought that, you know, and you told me, watch Peacemaker.
Yeah.
And I have now, don't give it away. I've watched the 4 episodes. We just went on vacation, so we can catch the rest. And I mean, I feel like I should get down on my hands and knees and beg you for forgiveness of them, because it is so good. They've still gotten the kind of, you know, Deadpool vibe of, you know, like of like, you know, overtly goofy violence with just hilarity, with just some cheeseball, corny kind of over the line sexuality and sexual jokes. But they've nailed the whole thing, and he is so good. Mm-hmm. And you know, we finished the last episode. I think I tweeted something out and you liked it. I think I saw, so you know, which was the I'm taking my 15-year-old drummer son in about a month and a half, 2 months when they're in town to see a group of hard rock bands, one of which is Faster Pussycat. And the whole House of Pain scene. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
So in any case, we can get back to what we're talking about, but I need to tell you, because I remember you saying how good it was.
Oh yeah.
You are right. Like it is everything.
Well, yeah. And I gotta say, I love that show so much. Here's how much I love that show. I am not into dancing. If you imagine me on a dance floor, I'm 6'4", elbows, knees. I'm just not
muscular white guy. Yeah, they're known for their dancing.
Yeah, flailing on the dance floor. It's just not a pretty sight. That said, I want to learn that fucking opening dance move from Peacemaker, that whole dance routine with the wigwam song, because I love that show so much. And I love that opening sequence too. I mean,
when has there ever been a show before where I actually can get excited to, I don't even fast forward.
I know,
to the opening sequence. I'm actually excited to see it.
Hey, did you see the story about that dumb fuck Nebraska lawmaker who had to apologize for spreading fake news about a litter box conspiracy theory? Have you heard this story yet?
I didn't see that he'd apologized. I saw he said something about us. We're saying humans can turn to cats or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
He was
talking about a conspiracy theory that alleges that schools are putting litter boxes in the bathrooms to accommodate children who self-identify as cats. And so he had to walk that back. But the fact that he believed it for a period of time either shows how utterly fucking cynical the Republicans have become, or how incredibly gullible. I mean, we may be talking about a party of whatever, 75 million suckers. I mean, that was pretty clear by the 2016 election and the success of Donald Trump. But now, I mean, my God, it's gotten even worse. If they're believing ridiculous conspiracy things like that, like, oh, my God, we got to accommodate children who identify as cats because of trans people and whatever they're talking about here, whatever comment this is about identity and gender and so on. This is how ridiculous the other side has gotten. And probably
also
a pretty
like
good
to tell him that, by the way, cats are fucking awesome. We have 4 of them. We practically have a barn in our house because we love them so much. Because we took in one or two that were found places, and then we love them and we couldn't. So anybody, that guy wants to fucking mess with cats, I will. Humans are one thing, but he wants to mess with cats, I will beat him within an inch of his life. Which, by the way, folks, I don't really mean, because I don't actually condone violence. I am not Will Smith. Although I will get up and make a tearful apology right now about how I'm really about love and protection and stuff after I punch people.
Oh man, though, isn't that all? Isn't it all about the times, though? Isn't it perfectly in keeping with what's going on in department stores and on airplanes about mask mandates and vaccine mandates, or just like unhinged grievances turning into, well, I can't just be angry about something. I have to fucking punch someone out, or I have to make a spectacle in the shopping mall, or I've got to gun down a bunch of people at the post office, or whatever.
No, it fits in perfectly. It's these loud voices that are out there encouraging people to do all this kind of shit. And we have a lot of people out there. It's, and let's be honest here, like people say, oh, you shouldn't discriminate between this, that. Well, I'm going to discriminate. It really, it's not by race at all. But you go to most countries, it's men.
Yeah.
It's us.
Oh, yeah.
It is and more heterosexual, and it is just true. It is heterosexual men. If it's a country that's majority black, I'm sorry, they end up being black. If it's a country that's majority, you know, Arab, it ends up being Arab. If it's a country like this, majority white. But men, like, we have this thing where a certain number of us have this uncontrollable anger.
Yeah.
And it you know, and you see it because you're brought up the mass shootings. Every time, that's the first thing I look for. Mm-hmm. The first fucking thing I look for is, when were they arrested for domestic violence? And every time, like, I swear to God, 9 out of 10 times, that's your indicator. You know, is that certain people have this uncontrollable anger. And the problem is we have these voices out there. We have these Hannitys and Tucker Carlsons and people like that encouraging them to exercise that part of themselves and to go. And, you know, and I'm not saying that was the reason with Will Smith, but I'm just saying, you're right. It is with a piece with our current culture of just people just feeling like they resent everyone, they're screwed by everyone, that you know, they're angry, that nobody respects them, which they're being told all the time, especially by right-wing voices, some far-left voices too, but certainly by far-right voices, you know. And then and then you've got like these fucking few people sitting at the top, like laughing all the way to the bank, screwing everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and making everything worse. What that reminds me of, somebody who's a baseball fan, is we have baseball now, but to me, that's part of a piece with all this too, culturally, that this bunch of fucking billionaires that owned all these baseball teams locked out players for a while over the smallest sort of concessions that they were refusing to make.
Yeah.
Goddamn billionaires. And they couldn't, and they wouldn't make these concessions, you know, like, I mean, it just, we're not in the best of times, you know. I hate to tell you, Bob.
And you know what, it sounds cliche to say it, and I had this discussion on my Tuesday show as well, but toxic masculinity is a real thing. You and I, I'm sure, both grew up with it to some extent.
Yep.
Like, what are these societal or even familial expectations of the quote-unquote man of the house, or any of the boys and men in a particular household? How are we supposed to behave? How do men and boys behave in society? And in the case of, you know, the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, Will Smith felt the need to use violence in order to defend the honor of his wife. That is dictionary definition of toxic masculinity. That's what it's all about. It's not, we're not talking about masculinity. We're talking about masculinity that is knee-jerk and damaging. That's what we're talking
and
about.
And also, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote in that brilliant,
wonderful piece.
Oh my God, is he just one of the smartest people? Jesus. And the whole thing, the paternalism in there too, because my wife noticed that right away, and that was one of her reactions, you know. And I think that's a reaction that women can have to these kinds of things right away, that even we don't notice right away, which is, you know, the whole man standing up for my honor thing. My wife's like, I can speak for myself. Somebody insults me, I can insult them back. But the fact that first of all, you get up and you go, you know, smack somebody because he said mean things about your wife in just about the most inappropriate place to do it. It doesn't matter where you do it. It's awful. But I'm just saying, could do that on live TV. That just tells me how out of control you are. But then to sit down and start yelling, and you'll notice he didn't yell like, get Jada's name out of your mouth. He said, my wife.
Right.
Get my wife's name. It's like,
get my property. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the way it sounds when you're saying it that way.
Yep. Yep.
You know, get my wife's name. Like, you know,
he used possessive pronoun. That's the, that's the pronoun.
The
he
whole
used
thing, of, everything about that was gross as far as I was concerned. And it all fits with all of this stuff right now, all these raging little, and then you knew because of that, that all these little pretend tough guys, you know, all these little, you know, neck bearded little fucking munchkin, you know, I'm combining them all into one person, you know. Like I forget Matt Walsh and Ben Shapiro and all these little douche nozzles. We're gonna have something to say about it that was gonna turn into something the left. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know what? There were a couple of polls that kind of underscored all of this. And the first poll was I want to say it's an AP poll from last week showing 56% of Americans think that Joe Biden hasn't been tough enough with Russia. And then on top of that, a majority of Americans in a poll yesterday from a Democratic pollster, by the way, a majority of Americans think that Will Smith was right to deck Chris Rock. A majority. And it was a narrow majority, but it was a majority. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. Even if that had been like a strong plurality,
yeah,
that would tell you everything about where we are.
Right, right. Yeah. There's this.
I'm sorry. You just don't. It's like I tell my 15-year-old all the time, you know, when my 12-year-old son is purposely being a pain in the ass to him and bothering him. It's like, yeah, I get it. He's doing it. I get it. But you don't just get to use violence in response to things people say to you.
That's right.
This is not how you handle things. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to teach kids that.
Yeah.
And I'm watching fucking grown adults whose first reaction is, you know, and all these guys went, oh, the left, you know, conveniently forgetting. I mean, how many times did Trump call on people like, beat the crap out of that guy, you know, like that. I mean, it was a constant feature at all of his little get-togethers.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, how many times in the early days, right around when Trump was tweeting, like, liberate Michigan, liberate Ohio, how many pictures and videos did we see of guys with AR-15s in the lobbies of state houses trying to blast through doors? I mean, it's amazing that we were shocked the insurrection happened, but it already kind of started in state houses in what, June of 2020? I mean, right around there, right around the time the lockdowns were ending. I mean, it was all being telegraphed. We all knew it was coming. Except we didn't see the extent of how bad it would get. But it's all, I think it all emerges out of the same sort of problem, which is this toxic masculinity combined with what I think is a very sick societal rot that I've kind of been collectively referring to as the American nervous breakdown, where we're just, I think as a society, we're starting to lose our spadoinkle a little bit. Maybe it started at 9/11. Maybe it started at the 2000 election. Maybe it started with the election of Barack Obama. It certainly started in earnest when Donald Trump descended that goddamn escalator to announce that he was running for president. I mean, that's when you can really trace it back to as being where the snap took place.
You put up the other day, and you know, and no, I hate to be grabbing the Twitter again from you, Bob, but you did. You put up something that I thought was very smart about who the sort of America's villains were, worst ones. And I felt like, you know, I added a few things, people I thought, but I felt like we couldn't. So maybe we've got a little bit of time in your show, or maybe we have to go soon. I don't know.
It's up to you. Yeah, we got about 10 minutes. Yeah.
But I just felt like that, you know, you put up something very smart there, but I wanted to make a broader point. And like, I kind of feel like it's impossible on Twitter, obviously, to make nuanced points most of the time. Whereas what you got exactly right is Roger Ailes deeply understood this kind of shit we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. The underbelly, the sort of resentment of white working class, particularly men, and obviously some other groups too, but largely based there, often rural, those who didn't have a college education, whatever, for all the sort of society they saw as leaving them behind, as mocking their values, as sort of, you know, these kinds of things. And he took Fox, and that is what he turned it into. But the one thing I did want to say to you, you know, and say, I do think you're very right about that, but I did think you're forgetting the role that I still think, you know, these right there with Ailes, whatever his stupid fucking name is, he's dead anyhow. So I shouldn't have said that. I don't like making fun of people being Debbie Norton. Fuck that guy.
With Roger Ailes, fuck that guy. Seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's some exceptions to my rule.
Right.
So let's make another exception to another fuck that guy, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And I think you have to, because I'll never forget, I was in college and it was my, and you know, and I was taking, we were taking classes on, and I was doing this political communications class on this new phenomenon, you know, of right wing, this new phenomena of Rush Limbaugh, right wing talk radio. It was probably about 93 or so. Mm-hmm. And what a big deal, you know, Fox wouldn't hit the airwaves till 96. What a big deal he was becoming with all this sort of resentment shit and all that. And we had loosened up all the rules that were allowing, you know, bigger media conglomerates to grab more and more stations so you could have a national voice like his in a way you couldn't have before. And that we'd gotten rid of the fairness doctrine under Reagan. And then we, you know, I mean, it wasn't one E1 thing. It was all this. And now we're expanding. This is a new thing. Sorry for all of you are going to make fun of Bob and I for being old, but you know, this is like the early to mid 90s. This, oh, the internet, you know, is coming along, and suddenly people, you're able to sort of share a lot of this online too. And that's not regulated by, you know, by the FCC, and cable isn't either. And that wasn't something else. And eventually satellite radio and whatever. And I'm just saying, like, to me, that's the, when you're talking about how long our country has been going in that direction, right? And circling back to where you began this, mm-hmm. where we, you know, blowing our collective spadoinkle. I think it's been a process. I think it began right around there.
Yeah.
I think Limbaugh and then Newt Gingrich was doing it at that time in, mm-hmm. in the minority. He was in the minority, but he was the one who broke from the sort of Bob Michael, who was the House Minority Leader, moderate Republican from Illinois, who wanted to work with Democrats, to the let's destroy them, let's blame them, let's use all these phrases to describe them, sick and evil and whatever. It was sort of the collection of, you know, Gingrich is an elected official, and Limbaugh on radio, Ailes is a producer, TV guy. I might throw Ralph Reed in there as the fourth one who got it from a Christian
perspective. Yeah, never forget that asshole, yeah.
Because he did it from the Christian perspective, the same resentful. And I just think since then, you're right, there have been points where it just flew off the charts. When we elected somebody black, they lost their fucking minds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we did some, we passed, you know, marriage equality is passed. They lost their fucking minds because the, you know, things of that nature. And obviously Trump getting elected has made everything just 1,000 times worse. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I do. I think we're at dangerous times, and it's tough to put the whole thing back together again. But we're the thing that's the most frustrating is none of this would be easy no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you bring up stuff like where we started this show, you know, Mick Mulvaney at CBS and these things, I mean, we're allowing it to slip through our fingers. Like right, this right. process can be halted. This process yeah. can be turned around. We can find a way to deal with some of these folks that have essentially been entered into cults yeah. and been brainwashed by this crap. We can have a free and fair democracy. The United Kingdom does, Germany does, Canada does, who have much tougher laws on allowing people to get up on large platforms and flat out lie sure. about other people and things, and we choose not to.
Yep.
I mean, there are other ways to do this mm-hmm. that I think other countries are handling this better than us. And I think, I mean, man, we're watching this slowly slip away, and it's yeah. pretty fucking, it's maddening.
Okay, one last short break. Back with more Cliff Schechter right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Going back to Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes identified a demographic in this country, a demographic that is wrong, cruel, and racist. And this demographic, because it is wrong, cruel, and racist, wasn't really a part of the serious conversation of politics in this country. And then Roger Ailes made it possible to bring in the wrong, cruel, and racist demographic into the conversation. And it's like, you know, it's like dumping arsenic in your beer. You're gonna poison the discourse with these people who, because he's pandering to the wrong, cruel, and racist demographic, feels then empowered. Like, oh, well, I guess being wrong, cruel, and racist is actually being right. I guess we're right about stuff. And that's what Fox News did. It reinforced, yes,
correct.
You're not alone. You're correct. Your racism, your cruelty, your wrongness is actually right. And so, therefore, you have a voice. You need to participate. And so these people are enabled. That leads to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, which leads to Sarah Palin. Yeah, you can do the list on the line leading all the way up through Donald Trump, right? And you're so that's the poison of Roger Ailes. Yeah,
correct. They all learned from the ones that came before them. And they were some of the original ones. There were some others. Richard Viguerie, who pioneered direct mail and raised a ton of money that way through. Yeah. Kind of the way, it's the same idea as all those emails that spread disinformation now. He was a Goldwater guy. Some of them came out of Goldwater. I mean, it's not to say that you know, it's hard to ever say any one person, but, you know, you can certainly say Roger Ailes. You can certainly say Newt Gingrich. You can certainly say Rush Limbaugh.
Don't forget Morton Downey Jr. Everyone forgets Morton Downey Jr. Morton Downey Jr. Sure. Basically was a chimera of Phil Donahue and Rush Limbaugh. If Phil Donahue was an unforgivable asshole, that would be Morton Downey Jr. That's the kind of character.
Bill O'Reilly got his whole shtick from him.
I mean, yes, exactly right.
Morton Downey Jr.'s shtick worked, and that's what I mean. Yeah. He was just that asshole doing Inside Edition. And he saw the whole shtick worked.
That show was immensely popular for about 2-3 years in the late 1980s. And to an extent, it kind of eclipsed the early Limbaugh show. I mean, I know Limbaugh probably got started around the same time. I want to say Limbaugh was nationally syndicated starting in 88 or 89. But Morton Downey Jr. was there, too, except Morton Downey Jr. was on television. And then Rush Limbaugh got his own television series, a syndicated television series, which, by the way, produced by Roger Ailes. So there it is again. There's the Roger Ailes influence.
I forgot that he had produced it originally. I mean, he knew how to tap into that anchor. Yeah, he's the one who I mean, he saw talent. He picked Hannity. He picked O'Reilly. Yeah. We're like, they are perfect for what I am trying to do.
Oh, yeah. And we forget the, I guess the documentary is called The Hunting of the President. We forget about the vast right-wing conspiracy jihad against the Bill Clinton administration.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was bananas. I mean, that was very similar to a lot of the shit that we're seeing now. There were conspiracy theories. There were things, why isn't the press covering Vince Foster's murder at the hands of Hillary Clinton? All that kind of shit. I mean, I remember listening to G. Gordon Liddy in 1993 because I worked at the same radio station as he did. So I sat on the opposite side of the plate glass window from G. Gordon Liddy talking about how, you know, he would go to the firing range and for his grandkids, he would put up photos of Bill and Hillary Clinton on the targets, and they would have target practice with pictures of the president and the first lady. I mean, this is shit that was getting broadcast nationally on the radio in 1993. So that's,
again, I just think some of these people in the press were like, holy shit, and they didn't know what to do with it. And they just kind of were like, okay, you know, it'll go away and blah, blah, blah. But my real problem with them is it didn't. It kept getting worse.
Yeah.
And there really is a point where you run out of the excuse of like, you know, the thing I can't stand is when people are like, haven't you guys learned anything yet? And it's like, you can't say that 25 years later. I mean, these are not stupid people. There's no not learning. There's choosing to not learn because you don't care.
Yeah.
There's choosing to do something different because it's more profitable or better for your career or because you're secretly right wing or you know any number of reasons. Yeah. But it's not because you didn't learn. It's not because you don't know what you're doing is wrong, because they keep doing the same shit again and again and getting taken again and again. At some point, you're like, you have to want to be taken in by this bullshit.
Right. Well, speaking of naivete, before I let you go, Cliff, I got to ask you about this. When I saw the Madison Cawthorn Coke orgies story, my first thought was, oh my God, Madison Cawthorn is talking about Coke orgies on Capitol Hill. And my second thought was, oh my God, I got to ask Cliff Schechter about this. Not because you attend Capitol Hill Coke orgies that I know of.
And you know I don't.
Well, I said that I know of.
I quit the Coke, so I only go to the non-Coke orgies.
But because you used to cover Republican sexcapades, wasn't that your beat?
So when I was on the Young Turks back in the day, I had the first ever regular thing I had, a regular kind of appearance on any kind of show was every week I did Republican sexcapades. And that's actually, in the end, kind of what led to that Kleena Mitchell clip that we talked about and others like that, because that's how I knew all that information. Because I would sit there each week and prepare, and it was like you didn't really have to prepare. It was like, hey, David Vitter's with a bunch of hookers. Hey, Mark Foley's sitting on the pages again. Hey, look, there's another pastor was found like having hung himself with like a scuba gear coming out of his ass. By the way, this is a real case that I will never forget. Some right wing pastor in Alabama who they found hung and accidentally, obviously auto asphyxiation in a hotel, hung himself with scuba gear coming out of his ass.
Oh, and I was just like, God.
He was an outspoken right wing. You know, what would I have done with Jerry Falwell Jr.? It's not like any of this stuff has stopped, right?
One of the people you mentioned, certainly you mentioned in your Cleta Mitchell appearance, is Randy Duke Cunningham. And I only learned a couple of months ago that Randy Duke Cunningham and his wife were in my mom's Lamaze class when my mom taught natural childbirth back in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, so she knows personally the Cunninghams. She emails me a couple of months ago and says, Bob, do you know who Randy Cunningham is? And I was like, oh, you mean Duke Cunningham?
The Dukester? That was the name of his yacht, remember? The Dukester.
The Dukester. Which is an unfortunate name if you spell it incorrectly. You know what I mean?
That's correct.
Two O's. You don't want to spell it with two O's.
You do not. that's what I meant. Like, they were comical. And the thing that kept getting me, and again, the thing that still gets me, and probably what gets me so fucking mad is the media. And when you see me go off on mainstream media, it's like you're watching a puppet show with a bunch of fucking clowns in it, but you're treating them like real people who have real things to say. Like, you're ignoring.
Yes.
It's like they're up on stage and they're literally like they're pooping their pants and like they're sitting there and they're vomiting on themselves and they're like, you're ignoring all of that and you're nodding along to the points they're making.
Right.
I mean, that's what this is like. And it was like that back then, because I think what set me off initially to do that segment, The Young Turks. And I was obviously early internet. I feel like I did that somewhere around between like, I'd have to look it up, 2002 and 2005 or, 2001, 2000, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. It was because it was a reaction to like every one of those assholes going after Bill Clinton were cheating on their fucking wives. Yep. Every one of them.
Yep.
It was like Newt Gingrich was doing and Bob Livingston. And like, you remember that crowd? Of them morally judging this guy. Mm-hmm. Dan Burton, who fathered kids with other women that weren't his wife, the one from Indiana, who shot the cantaloupe in his backyard to prove that Vince Foster had been murdered. I don't know if you remember that.
Like, I remember that. God.
Right. And it's like you're looking at this person in the face, Dan Burton, who shot a fucking cantaloupe in his backyard, who has fathered, like, I think with two other wives, if I remember correctly, or two other women, children. And you're taking seriously what he has to say about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. What the fuck is wrong with you? And it's but my God. I'd almost give anything to have that back. I mean, look at now they're listening, like they do the same with Donald Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
People like that. Those people make fucking, Dan Burton look like an astronaut war hero Mensa member.
Right, right. And like Chuck Todd will be sitting on Meet the Press and he'll show a video of all the Republicans pooping on stage. And then he'll turn to his panel and go, "Why can't Joe Biden stop the pooping?" And it's like, what the fuck are you just talking? What are you talking about? God damn it, this guy. Oh, it's so immensely frustrating.
It's just so frustrating. And that's the thing is that, I said what I said earlier, like I talk about it often. I don't let us off when it comes to it pisses me off and it may be up to all of us in the end to settle on messages and repeat them and make them simple for people and make it clear that one party is for democracy, the other one's for autocracy.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's them refusing to listen to judges in trying to overthrow you know, the maps in Ohio, or being a fan of Vladimir Putin's when he's murdering people in Ukraine, or loving Donald Trump. It's all part of the same thing about who here believes in our freedoms, who here wishes to take them away, who here is corrupt, who is not. I mean, these are things that we should be making this very clear to people.
Yeah.
And we are not yet doing that.
Shit. Well, we're not going to solve all the problems today, even though we tried. I mean, we desperately did try to solve every problem there is today, Cliff. And, you know, I appreciate the effort. know what I mean?
All the problems I failed to solve, that's on me, folks.
And, right. You know. Well, so where can people follow you on the internet, Cliff, on social media, et cetera?
Well, I'll just give the best part right now. I've told you before, and, you know, and I will tell you again, hopefully, when I come back. But I just got back from my vacation. We've kind of working on some sort of a beta testing, whatever. I'm going to have my YouTube commentary channel going up. But thank you. The only reason I'm not promoting it yet is simply because I don't want people going there and being like, oh, there's only two videos. You suck, Cliff, and then leaving. And then like, whereas I starting on hopefully Monday, you know, when I got back, I've got to, you know, get everything set up. I'm going to start having regular stuff every day, numerous commentaries. So what I would say to people is right now, just go to @CliffSchechter is the best thing because I will be there on Twitter and I will tell you where to find me in other places, you know, there. So it's just @CliffSchechter and Schechter, S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. If you can remember that, we chucked an extra H off the name on the boat over. There you go.
Yep. And I'll put a link in the description under this episode at bobsesca.com. As always, thanks so much, my friend. I really needed this hour. It was great.
So did I. Seriously, when I come back in, like I just spent a week with the family in Key West and I had a blast and I started doing some work, but I like in the corner, you know, I flew back in like 1:30, but in the corner of my eye, I kept looking for like 3:30 because I'm like, then I get to do the stuff that quote unquote is work, but is fun.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We're very, very lucky in that regard. Yeah. And I want to get you on a regular basis here. I want to see if we can get you on like once a month or something like that so we can do this again and again and again.
That sounds absolutely fantastic.
Perfect.
So we'll talk about that. We'll figure out what day of month it, you know, what day it is once a month, and I shall be there.
You got it. Take care, my friend.
All right. You too. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye. Bye. Nobody told